We ask you for a deposit into the life of this church. Whatever you've put on George's heart, we want to receive it from you, Lord. That this church would be built up. And Jesus, we submit to you. You are the head of the church. And so we want to become everything you want us to be. For your glory. Amen.
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 Thanks, George.
Good morning. It's so wonderful to be here again. This time, as scripture says, I'm the husband of one wife. And I know some of you didn't believe me. So I asked my wife to come with me. Her name is Liesl. And it's so wonderful to have her with me here. It says, he who's found a wife has found a good thing. So I consider myself very blessed. And we've got three beautiful children. So it's really bring you lots of greetings from them and from the church in South Africa. And it's really good to be here with you. Good. So I want to say really well done. You know, last year, a year ago, I was preaching in the other hall. And there were just grass here and sand. And suddenly I come here, I'm amazed to see what God is doing. Amen.
Amen.
Really good news. Great.
Tsar.
So as Kim has said this morning, I want to talk about the family of God. Because you know, as someone has once said, we get to choose our friends. But God chooses our family. Amen.
Amen.
Now, for some of us, that's good news. You've got a great family. For some of us, we can't wait to get to heaven. Because maybe we're not enjoying our family so much. But this morning I want to tell you whether this family, your natural family, whether they are good or bad, it's only temporary. Because the family of God is permanent. So we might as well just start to enjoy one another now. Because eternity is a very long time. We might as well start to really enjoy one another. Because we're going to be spending a lot of time together. Amen.
Amen.
So the first thing I want to say, this life of God, this family of God, these amazing things that Jesus came to talk about, it it doesn't start one day when you get to heaven. Did you know that? It actually starts the moment you are saved. You see, I think many Christians get saved and then they sort of just waiting. Oh Lord, come quickly so we can come and be with you. Where actually Jesus says, the moment we come into Him, we already have eternal life. We already start to live in the reality of this new life, of this new kingdom, having access to this Father in heaven. You know, I love Kim's picture this morning of the presence of God. Do you know how privileged you are? You know, before Jesus came, only the high priest could come once a year into the presence of God. Amen.
Amen.
You and me, the moment we come into Jesus, I have more access, greater privilege than the high priest of Israel. Because I can come into the presence of God every second of every day. Amen.
Amen.
So what does that have to do with family? You know, in the Garden of
Eden,
God made everything beautiful. He made everything perfect. And we know the whole story. And everything just turned terrible because of disobedience. And the first thing that Adam and Eve did was to cover themselves up. Amen.
Amen.
And that is the thing, the problem. Because the more we try and cover ourselves up, the more we try to put things between us and God, the more we will put things between one another. Amen.
Amen.
And you see what God is doing? He sent
Jesus
to make the way, to open the way for us to the Father. And as I spend time with Him, He starts to remove the things between me and Him. And the more He removes things between me and Him, the more He removes things between me and my brother and sister. That's good news, hey? You see, so when it comes to the family of God, as we on this journey of walking together, there should be less and less between us. We become more and more open with one another. As we become more and more open with God, we can be more vulnerable with one another. As I become more vulnerable with God. So who's been in this church for more than a year? Or rather in this building for, oh no, yeah, I can't really say that, in this community, can I say, yeah?
Okay.
Okay, who's been in here more than 2 years? Okay, more than 5 years. More than 7 years. 10 years. Good. More than 10 years. Yeah, they already with Jesus, hey? You see, so if we look at our hands, the question we need to ask ourselves, are we those that walk together? Are we growing together? Do we love each other more? Is our hearts more open to one another? Amen.
Amen.
You see, I don't know if you've been baptized. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, many people here have been baptized. Now, you know the nice thing about a baptism is they put you under the water until we don't see you anymore. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, it's not a baptism if we can still see you. You agree? And we always make a joke with some of the guys there. When we baptize them, that we need to keep them under the water a long time. Because there's a lot of things we want to get rid of, you know. So can I say, you know, in Corinthians, Paul talks about the body, the church. And one of the amazing things he talks about is that the Holy Spirit, one of the things that he does is he baptizes us into the body. So what does that mean? You see, every now and then we have people coming to us, and some have been there for a short time. Some have been there for a long time. And they say, I'm not really getting these people. I'm not really connecting with these people. You know why? Because as the Holy Spirit is trying to baptize them into the body, a big part of them is still sticking out. You know, they will make good swimmers. Because they float on the top. You know, the good swimmers I hear is the guys who can float the best at the top. Because then you just have to use your arms and you can go very fast. You see, now because of Adam and Eve and the things that happened, Because there's so many layers and we're trying to protect who we really are. The harder it is for us to get into the body. And I want to encourage you this morning that God has got a great plan for this body. I can tell you, coming year after year, I am humbled. I'm amazed. I'm inspired to see what God is doing here. And I want to say to you that God has got this amazing inheritance, this thing that He's busy taking you into. And His heart is for everyone here to be able to enter into those
things.
But you know, it's like this vehicle. I laughed yesterday when with our wives here. So Kim reminds just this one lady.
Kim
says, when you drive here in Madagascar, make sure you keep your arms in the vehicle. Because you might lose them if you keep them outside, So can I say to you this morning, God is calling you on this journey. God is doing an amazing thing in the city. But those that want to keep their hands and arms outside of the vehicle are going to end up in a smaller portion of themselves. You see, because in the same way, the way that we are going to enter into these things, let's get into this vehicle. Let's get into this family. Let's get rid of the things that keeps me floating at the top. Let's get baptized. Let's get immersed into this body. Let's open our hearts to one another. As we open our hearts to God, because I can tell you from my own testimony, I used to be a great church attender. I had my seat. And it was, you know, Judgment Day, the Bible talks about it. It was Judgment Day if you sat on my seat. And I sat there week after week. And you know, to me, church was something that I just put on a Sunday. Until I understood this revelation of the Holy Spirit wanting to put me inside a body. You know, seed. Have you ever tried to just put a seed on the top of the ground? It doesn't really grow, hey? You have to put it inside the soil. And in the same way, God wants you to be planted into the soil here. So you can bear fruit. So people can see the fruit of His kingdom, of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Good. So that was for free. Let's get to our sermon. Great. So I want to just quickly share just a few things from Exodus.
Exodus, yeah.
We're going to look at Exodus 12. Talking about the Passover meal. And you remember just before God delivered Israel from Egypt. He instituted what we call the Passover meal. And they had to take a lamb. A perfect lamb. Without any faults in it. And they had to slaughter this lamb. And they had to take the blood from this lamb. And they needed to apply it to the doorposts of their homes. So that when the angel came into Egypt, he would pass over the blood. And they instituted this meal as a reminder of this event. Of how the blood of Jesus is applied to to the doorposts of our lives. As a celebration of what He has done for us. So let's read there from verse 3.
Mitenene nareo amin'ny fiangonana dia ny Israely rehetra ka manova hoe amin'ny andro fahafolo amin'ity volana ity dia aoka samy aka zanak'ondry iray avy izy rehetra araka ny fianakaviany dia ny zanak'ondry iray avy hoanin'ny isa-trano ary raha vitsy loatra ny iray trano ka tsy mahalany zanak'ondry iray dia aoka izy sy izay namany mifanakaiky trano aminy aka arak'izay isan'ny olona ny olona rehetra samy arak'izay tokony olaniny avy no anisanareo ny zanak'ondry.
Okay, great. So the first thing we see here,
ka ny zavatra voalohany hitantsika eto izany,
and remember I'm trying to talk about what does this family of God look like?
Tadidio aloha ny zavatra resahako dia hoe ohatrany ahoana moa ny paozin'ity hoe fianakavian'Andriamanitra ity.
What are the signs or the picture of what the family of God looks like? Now the first one here, the first picture that gets us together is not the good coffee or the nice building. Or the fact that we like one another. What got these families together was they were centered or seated around this table. And right in the middle of this table was the lamb. So what puts us together is the Lamb of God. You see, many of us would probably not be friends if it wasn't for the Lamb of God. You see, friends, in the same way, you want the blessing of God. You want to walk in the things that God has got for you. It starts by having the Lamb in the center. I know in my own life, when Jesus is not in the center of my marriage, when Jesus is not the center of my family and my children, when Jesus is not in the center of our city, of our workplace, things do not go well. So the first thing about the family of God is that we put Jesus right in the center of everything. The next thing we see is the whole household got together to enjoy this meal, which is very different to how families eat together today. I don't know what it is like over here, but I know there in South Africa, everyone eats at their own time, in their own rooms, or in front of the television, or they just eat junk food, just a quick meal, instead of a well-prepared meal. And actually what some people have found, that the fact that families do not eat together anymore is one of the key reasons for a lot of problems in the family unit. So let me apply it to the family of God. Some people eat from TBN. Okay, some people eat from TBN. Some people eat from these books, 1 minute with God. But these days we are so busy, it needs to become 30 seconds with God. Some people eat from this flyer that one guy is handing out. And eat from all over the place. No wonder not really growing. No wonder not really healthy. No wonder my life is missing something. So the first thing about the family of God is we prioritize spending time together. We don't quickly just eat and run off. We stay. We enjoy a well-prepared meal together, so that we can grow together, so that we can be healthy together. Amen.
Amen.
You know, some people say, well, you know, I am the church. I don't really need to get together, you know, with the believers. It's just me and Jesus.
They
say, but don't the Bible say, where two or more gathered, I'm with them? So now me and Tutsu, we're going to go fishing. Because we're the church. And another guy says, no, the two of us, we are going to go and work in the field. We're the church. Another guy says, no, the two of us are going to have some coffee somewhere. We're the church. That's not right. You see, two people fishing is two people fishing. That's not the church. Two people drinking coffee for Jesus is two people drinking coffee. Two people working in the field is two people working in the field. You see, this verse, it doesn't talk about the gathering of the saints. It doesn't talk about the church specifically as a grouping of people. It actually talks about when there's a relational issue. To untie that issue. Two of us get together to sort out this thing. Amen.
Amen.
So what is the church then? Well, we see in the book of Acts. We see these people coming together. And this amazing thing. They are self-devoted. I'm sure it's not like that over here. You know, in South Africa, and when I say it's not like that, often the pastor is like a jockey. Have you ever seen horse racing? He's sitting on the horse. Yes? You know what I'm talking about. So guys sitting on the horse and now they're racing. The only problem is, it's not a horse, it's a donkey that's almost dead. No life in this donkey.
You know,
the tongue is out. You know, many pastors prepare a meal on a Sunday or a Tuesday or whenever we get together so we can sit around the table and enjoy together. But instead, they like this guy on this dead donkey. No, come to church. And the donkey says, they say, come, let's give to the work of God.
The donkey,
you know. So let's celebrate one another. Marriage course. We're going to talk about marriage. The donkey is just lying there. So again, friends, that is not the church Jesus is building. The church that Jesus is building is a people who are so amazed by what he's done that we cannot get you away from one another. That you're so looking to see, is there someone with need? Let's try and help those people. Let's be devoted to prayer. Who finds it easy to pray for an hour by themselves every
day?
I need you to come pray for me as well. But you know, when we get together and we pray, an hour goes like this. To read your Bible for an hour. When we get together, under the word, it goes like this. Maybe not today, but usually. You see, that is why the writer in Hebrews says, do not forsake this fellowship. As some are in the habit of doing. But let us get together. Come with something to give. Coming expectant. You know what will happen here? If the next time we get together, everyone here comes with an expectation for God to manifest himself in a powerful way here. Everyone comes with an expectation to hear the word of God. To pray. To enjoy one another. Amen.
Amen.
Almost done. The family of God, and just for time's sake, I won't read it now, in verse
8,
they never forget where they came from. Because what we see when they had this Passover meal, so remember, they're sitting around this table. The lamb is in the center. And along with this lamb, they also ate. You know, there were these bitter herbs. And that was a picture of a reminder of their bitter life in Egypt. You see, friends, and often, we quickly forget all the good things God has done for us. We quickly forget what it cost God to purchase us for himself. You see, so often we forget what God has done in our lives. And as they were eating this meal, with these bitter herbs, it started to lead them to just worshiping and thanking God again. So what does this mean for us? You see, the family of God is a grateful people. Is a worshiping people. Because we remember what God has done for us. And that leads to me wanting to live my life with just such What's it? Thankfulness.
De izany de mitarika na iaina ny fiainako a tena hoe velom-pisaorana, feno fisaorana.
Amen.
Amen.
And as they tasted these bitter herbs,
de rehefa marehan'ny tsiron'le anana mangidy ry zareo a,
it was a reminder of how sweet their life is now. So can I ask you this morning? Does your life now in Christ taste sweeter than the life outside of Christ? You know, do you have Coca-Cola light here?
Nareo ve manana le Coca-Cola light?
You have it,
zero.
Eh? Coca zero. Okay? Now the amazing about that is
zavatra mahalina ny amin'iny a,
it tastes like Coke.
Ny tsirony le izy ohatra ny tsirona Coca.
It's got less sugar than Coke.
De kely kokoa noho ny Coca ny siramamy ao anatiny.
It looks like Coke.
Ohatra ny Coca mihitsy ny fijery azy.
But it isn't really Coke.
Kanefa tsy tena Coca le izy.
You see, now in the same way, you know, some people are like a Philistine zero. You know, you look, almost look like a believer. You know, you're a little bit less sugar than you used to be. You look a bit different. But you're still very much the same person you used to be. Amen.
Amen.
So what does that mean for us? You see, in the family of God, it is in the community. It is by being together that we actually grow. That we become the people God has called us to be. You know, it's like two rough stones. Let me ask you, is there someone here, they scratching you, they irritating you? You don't have to put up your hand. You know, in a river, it's because of the scratching that those stones become smooth. What did David pick up from the river? How did he kill Goliath? With a smooth stone. You see, so you don't like it because you're scratching together, but God loves it. Because in that process, if I don't get offended, if I don't get angry, but understand that this scratching is part of God's plan, to make us smooth stones, so that our heavenly David can use us as weapons to defeat God's enemies. We will actually enjoy each other much more, hey? Maybe even look for opportunities to scratch each other. Lastly, the family of God is always on a mission. And what we see is as they were eating this meal, their cloaks were tucked in. Their sandals were on their feet. They had their staff in their hand, ready to go. So again, can I say to this body, What builds a healthy community? Is a people that are going somewhere.
That
are a people on the mission of God. You see, friends, in a soccer game, the night before, the players are lying on their beds. Oh, I can't wait to halftime. I wonder how nice the oranges are going to be. I wonder if there's going to be water. Is that what the players are dreaming about? No. He's thinking of how he's going to kick goals. And beat the goalie. And pass to the team members. See, and in the same way, when we get together here, it's so that we can get equipped. This is like the halftime. We're getting equipped. We're getting encouraged. We're getting built up. So that we can be on the mission of God. God so loved the city that he planted this body right here so that we can be on his mission and do the things he's called us to. So who's the family of God? It's the people eating together, lamb at the center, letting go of our past, remembering what God has done, on the way, on a mission, becoming the smooth stones, so God can use us greatly in our city.
Amen.
Amen. Great.
Yeah.
Great. Let's pray. So maybe let's stand. So Father, we want to thank you for this great privilege that we are not by ourselves, but you are the one who not only saves us, but puts us into a family and gives meaning and purpose and a mission to our lives. Father, I want to ask you this morning that we will be this family, that you will be at the center of everything in our lives, that we will enjoy one another, that we will prioritize one another, that we will remove these layers between us, that we will open our hearts so that we can grow together and become the people you've called us to be. Glory of your wonderful name, we pray. Amen.